Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Oh, yeah.
What a special treat. Just getting to hear EA read the liners right before you go on the air. It's a gift.
It is a gift. He's a superstar. He is a superstar.
So, do you guys remember we did this? Somebody asked this, like, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago. Maybe it was longer. I get them mixed up. But they asked, do you guys prefer doing a normal show or do you like it when really big breaking news happens? And you guys certainly got that yesterday.
We did, indeed.
And I think
a little bit of breaking news.
I think we were talking, like, you guys said there were a couple of things that broke on your show, one being Pete DeBoer getting fired.
Right.
And the Micah trade hit right when we went on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing was enormous.
It's different.
Like,
for sure, because we, I mean, as you know, but we sit in our little room and we're prepping the show and lay everything out and all the stuff you had read that morning and whatever you're planning on presenting for the show that day. Cause we didn't find out officially. I saw it on Twitter that this was coming down while we had done our mix with the Musers. And before we went into our first segment, we found out this was going to happen. And then it's like, oh, you look at all these hours of prep that you did, light that on fire and throw it out the window and see where we go.
And just the natural reactions of trying to figure everything out as you go.
Right.
It's pretty exciting. It's exhilarating.
It's adrenaline for sure.
Right. And then, you know, once it wears off and you're in your car on the way home, you kind of need a couple of minutes to take a breath and get some quiet on.
Yeah.
Just kind of have your brain stop moving a little bit, but no, I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I love it when it happens, but I do think that when it is done, like when you're done, especially if it breaks right at the beginning, it's one thing if it breaks at like noon, but it broke right at the beginning of y'all's show, and so when you're done, you're kind of like, well, I'm done with that topic for a while. Like, you don't want to think about it.
I know, but then all your friends want to call you and talk to you about it.
Right.
And when you get home and you know, the wife wants to talk to you about it. It's one of those things that it doesn't stop it. I love it. I love every aspect of it. And I love having you guys on with it to get your first natural reaction because it's something else to have a chance to formulate your thoughts and think about other things and other tentacles of the story. But when you're deep in it, man, it's really tough to try to think about the things you get to marinate on. It's about right here and right now, and you're getting that natural reaction. So we do it on the post-game show, which I really, really enjoy. So it's kind of something like that. Like, I don't even want to thoughtfully think about this. Let's go with the natural reaction, how you actually feeling. And I think that's more natural and what everyone else is thinking at the time.
No, I agree. Okay, so Derek brings up, yesterday at 9 a.m., Sports Jesus comes down and says to you individually, in 30 minutes, I'm letting one GM go in your town. It's your call, Jerry or Nico. What would you have done?
I'd have said Jerry. I would love this thing with the Cowboys. I would love, because Nico, whether or not he was going to be here till the end of the year or another couple years, eventually he was going to get let go. Jerry is not going to stop doing this until he dies, and he's a billionaire, so he could be immortal. So
Jerry loves it.
I would love to see what the Cowboys would look like with a different general manager.
Donnie? Like
an actual legitimate general manager, not a faux general manager where Jerry's still running things.
I'm on the fence because I feel like the voice of Jerry as far as the GM goes is getting less and less loud.
It is. That's
so right. He's not like just making the, this is my decision and I'm doing this.
So just give me a not Jones.
But Jerry is the general manager. You know what I'm saying? So that's the one that if you got to dismiss someone is going to be, I think I would have told him Nico. Maybe I'm just so numb to what the Cowboys are doing and knowing that.
I think that's it. I'm so used to it that it doesn't bother me as much as the Nico thing did. And I was so tired of fire Nico. Like, I'm appreciative that it happened because that's, you know, what caused it. But after a while, you know, I'm like, oh, man.
Are you going to get tired of sell the team? Because that's next.
Yeah. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, come on. That's like yelling at Jerry to sell the team.
I know. Right. I know. But you know that's going to the next time they're on the court, let's just say tonight in Phoenix, and they're down 20 in the third quarter. You know that's coming next.
And then what?
Well, no. He's like, oh, I heard the fans.
Well, the fans will say that they made a difference in getting him fired. So what if Patrick Dumont comes to the next game and goes, what's that? Sell the team. Oh, okay.
I mean, you guys know.
Paperwork right there at courtside.
Yeah, a lot of it is sell the team or move them to Vegas and give us a new franchise that you guys aren't associated with.
That's a long chant. I don't know if they'll do that in the game.
Sell the team and give us a new one you're not affiliated with.
Let's see. Move to Vegas and give us another team that we can associate with.
Yay.
Move to Vegas. Oh, what a terrible chant. We have to work on that one.
I'm not a chant person.
No, no. Okay, which local sports team has had the most drama on and off the field, court and or ice, in the last 25 years? So since 2000.
Oh, since 2000.
I was going to say,
it's the Cowboys by far not even
right,
close.
Right, right. But since 2000, I will still say the Cowboys.
I mean, the Mavs have not had.
Well, that's post-Irvin.
Still.
And Urban was the cause of a lot of that around
here. I mean,
here.
I know it was a mental health thing, but the Cowboys have had players die. One in the middle of the season of Marshawn Nealon, another in the middle of the year when Josh Brent was driving drunk and killed.
Jerry Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I think by far it's probably still the Cowboys. With everything Jerry has done.
Yeah, Jerry fathering multiple people.
Yeah, he's by himself probably the one that pushes the Cowboys over to the top. Like, the Mavericks are probably second. You don't hear anything, really, from the Stars or the Rangers. So it's definitely those two
Rangers
franchises.
With all the Josh Hamilton stuff and the John Wetland stuff that came out.
All right.
Dude,
Ron Washington, okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff there, but it just feels... What have the Mavs done? Until it got to Nico in the trade, what was the biggest... controversies with the Mavs.
Well, the pants DJ lot, and, you know, having to bring scent in for all the stuff that was going on.
I forgot about that.
Like, the Mavs have had some
drama. They did a good job
of
covering that one
up. Pant DJ, Donnie Nelson, that whole...
Yep.
I mean, dude, that was big.
It was.
They've had a lot.
Man, for this...
The Dirk... What about the Dirk thing with that weird lady that was grifting him?
I know, right? Man, since 2000, that's a...
Yeah, the Scent Marshall stuff, when she had to come in with all that came out from that, that puts the Mavs number two. Because that was an organizational-wide thing that wasn't necessarily just one player focused.
You know, Donovan, you turned down smoking a joint with Snoop Dogg, which is still the...
I didn't turn it down.
You
did. It wasn't offered.
It wasn't his flavor.
It wasn't offered.
You would have turned it down.
I would not. I cannot turn down smoking up with Snoop. Smoking up. Is that even a... I sounded like I was 900
like
when I said that. Smoking with Snoop.
Would you have turned down doing a line of blow with Wash?
Yeah, I'm going to have to turn that down, Wash. I'm sorry.
Why?
That's the way baseball goes.
I'm not going to do blow.
There's probably medical professionals close by that can save you if your heart explodes.
No, I don't think so. Not at that point. I don't think he's doing it around the medical professionals.
It's probably really good stuff, too. Right. Like, you know, you're not in any trouble of
it
being cut with anything.
100% Colombian cocaine.
No.
Right. One line's not going to do anything to you.
Yeah, look at EA.
I don't know that.
He knows.
How do you
know EA? Why do you hate Wash so much? I don't get it.
I don't hate Wash. I'm just not doing it. Hey, man, I'll thank him. No, thank you.
Is there somebody that you would do a line of coke with?
No.
No one on earth?
No.
What if your favorite television personality was like, I would be willing to...
No. I can't do that.
But the only way you can do it is between these.
Let's think of something else.
Okay, heroin.
No, I'm out.
Heroin?
Well, I said think of something else. I was thinking about drugs. What if you could...
Yeah, there's a really short list.
What if you could smoke crack with...
All right, what about...
No. We're not doing that.
What about eat mushrooms?
Yes.
With
Corby.
Dante Exum.
Yeah, sure. Why not? That'd be fun.
He's like, here, okay. I have this bag of shrooms.
That'd be fun.
Be careful.
How long does a rebuild typically take? I've been having this discussion with my kids. It's 3 years minimum, typically, right?
It's just so many different scenarios. We always point towards Houston and the Astros.
Right.
And how, man, you just tear it down. You suck for a few years. And, man, look what happens.
Look at Baltimore.
How many franchises have done that, thinking that that's the model, and they still suck? So I think the 3 years is very generous because you saw Houston do it in about 3 or 4. But I think it takes five, six, seven years.
Oh. That seemed like it was about 5 years, right?
Yeah,
that's
maybe
a good
four.
Comparison.
Yeah. And I like the idea of this rebuild going on right now during what I think is going to end up being, I don't know if you want to call it a dynasty, but the Thunder are going to be incredibly difficult to get past for the next 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
Right? And I remember having Cuban on, maybe when Luka was drafted, and he said that we want to get to the point where we're competitive while this Warriors dynasty is still going, like, hopefully it ends, and then we are now that team.
Yeah.
Which kind of was close. I mean, they got beat by the Warriors in the 21-22 Western Conference Finals.
Right, right. Now, the Thunder took 3 years. They made it to the first round of the playoffs. They lost it in the first round of the playoffs 5 years in a row, and then they stripped it down, went 22-50, 24-58, 40-42, then made the playoffs, then won the title.
God, but they had really only 2 years.
They had all those assets, though. They had all those draft picks.
Which is why you got to trade everybody.
And then they made that trade for SGA.
Right.
That helped it out tremendously. But, yeah, no, I think those cases are the, hey, man, if they can do it, we can do it. But you got to be in that same with the, you know, draft capital and all that, so you can expedite those. Because Houston, the Astros had the talent, and they knew that, once they get that experience, man, they're going to be good, and it worked. And Chicago, the Cubs did kind of the same thing, but you have other teams that are still a long way away from being relevant after trying to do that same thing. The Marlins, the Twins.
And I think in basketball, a lot of it depends on, okay, do you have an SGA? Do you have a Luka? Is Cooper Flagg going to be that guy?
Right.
If he is, then you're so far ahead of the curve as far as a rebuild goes, because you have one guy that is the alpha, and then you can build around that, and you don't need, you know, multiples like that. But, I mean, I'm of the – and I said this yesterday. This draft next year, when you do have your pick, this is a huge one, because there are 3 or 4 players that all could be the number one draft pick that are all super studs, that you need one of them. You need a Robin pretty quickly.
Right, right.
I was going to throw out Detroit as well with Cade Cunningham and what they're looking like now, because they finally made the playoffs last year, but they sucked for like 5 or 6 years and then hit on him, and it was kind of a slow rebuild. And it feels like if you hit on Cooper Flagg, that your rebuild, maybe you could do the 3-year process if he develops very quickly.
It was a slow burn for Detroit, because they last made the playoffs before last year in 2018-2019. They went 41-41, and then it's 20 wins, 20 wins, 23 wins, 17 wins, 14 wins, and then they jumped up to 44 last year and made the playoffs.
Okay.
It's a long time. Yep.
I mean, you're teetering on the worst team in the history of the NBA.
You are.
I remember talking about that.
Yep, yep.
Let's see. Is Luka laughing right now at all of this, or is he sad for the organization knowing that his fans are crushed?
He's probably feeling a little bit for some of his boys that he played with, but on the surface, he's and he's probably happy right now that he's in a better spot as far as basketball for right now.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you he's pretty. Not. I don't even think he's torn. I bet you he's sad. I bet you he looks at this and thinks,
what,
man, those people that were chanting for 9 months straight, they love me.
Right.
And they're heartbroken. Like and I think that's another thing that kind of, we found out after the trade went down is, did anybody really know how much he did mean? Even though we all loved him and he was great, but you don't really know until you're gone. Right?
Yep.
It's almost like the death of a 27-year-old, you know, actor or right. singer or whatever.
Right.
Where you don't really know what they mean until they're gone. And I mean, as much as people love Luka, I didn't know. And maybe it would have been different if they would have got 5 first-round draft picks and, you know, whatever else. But in the end, I don't think it would have.
It would have helped ease it a bit, the return package. I think Dumont clearly had no clue what the reaction would be of the fan base. I think Nico knew. He had to have known. He's been here. And he knows the amount of 77s that were in the AAC when they played basketball games. So what he meant to this franchise, I think he had to have known that it was going to, and it definitely escalated to a point to where Patrick Dumont had to let him go. But he knew the impact that that would make. That's why it was done the way it was done. And that's why we didn't hear a whisper about it until it happened that Saturday night in February. Like, not even a remote thought that this thing was happening. Mm-hmm.
This guy's got like 40 years left on the planet, probably. And there will not be a day that goes by the rest of his life right. where he's not looked at as that guy that made the worst trade in the history of the NBA.
You're the guy,
you know,
that traded
that is?
Yeah, that's forever. That's his legacy. No matter forever. What happens from here on out, he's the guy that traded Luka. No matter what he did before.
Yeah. Any trade that's made, if it's viewed negatively, this trade will be brought up into perpetuity.
Yeah.
40 years from now, there'll be a bad trade. They'll be like, oh, well, 40 years ago, this trade happened and Luka went on to win these titles and these MVPs
it's
in the match.
Herschel Walker and it's Luka Doncic.
That's exactly what this will be.
Yep. Yep. That's it. All right, Corby, thank you so much.
Bye, boys.
Thank